Welcome to Well That Was Weird, the podcast, Serial Saturday edition, where each week we discover different historical events, serial killers, and national tragedies. This week we are discussing the Lake Neos disaster. My name is Isaiah.
And I'm Chance. Here we go. The Lake Neos disaster. I guess that's how you would pronounce it.
Neos.
I'm not 100% sure. If you haven't heard of it before, yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Basically, it's what was called a limnic eruption. Now, a limnic eruption, I guess we should kind of detail what that is. It's also known as a lake overturn, which is a rare type of natural disaster in which dissolved carbon dioxide suddenly erupts from deep lake waters, forming a gas cloud capable of suffocating wildlife, livestock, and humans.
Like in the water?
Yeah, it's like way at the bottom of the water.
Yeah.
Being held down. Like, it's like a bubble.
I know like lakes and different ecosystems will overturn. They kind of do that naturally.
Yeah.
Like when gas and stuff escapes. Because there was a place in my hometown that like people would dump things back in the day. So then like in the 70s. And then like nowadays, like we'd be like cleaning it up for school projects. And it's and like a tire would float to the top. And they're like, oh, shit.
It's kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Just on a very, very large scale.
Yeah.
Mother
Earth taking a little toot-toot, you know?
Yeah, basically. Not to make light of the 1,746 people who died in this
thousand
incident.
Thousand deaths that happened because of a big fart.
So, Lake Neos is in northwestern Cameroon, which is part of Africa.
Oh, okay.
Basically.
Yeah, my geography is trash. I don't know where anything is. I was like, Cameroon, that's in Canada, right?
it's like on the west coast of Africa.
Gotcha.
Cameroon.
Chance, was that in Canada?
So, what happened is, like we said, it's basically an overturn of the lake. You have all this CO2 sitting at the bottom of the lake, and all of a sudden it bubbles all up to the top, and that CO2 has to go somewhere.
Yeah, and go whoop out.
Yeah, so it comes out of the lake. So this eruption triggered the sudden release of about, they kind of estimate, because this happened in August 21st, 1986.
Yeah.
So we didn't exactly have monitoring equipment there.
Yeah, yeah.
To fully measure it, so they're estimating.
Most big ecosystems and like lakes and things have a dedicated team nowadays.
Yes,
to like
prevent this from happening.
Yeah, like constantly monitor and like go out. Like that's their sole job, is to be like, hey, natural disasters are about to happen.
Yeah. So it released between 100,000 and 300,000 tons, which
God,
some sources actually put it at 1.6 million tons of carbon dioxide. So why is that bad, you may ask? When you release that much carbon dioxide at one time, it completely replaces the oxygen in the surrounding area. So therefore, you literally suffocate to death.
So it's like being exposed to the vacuum of space.
Yes,
almost
instantly.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Because it's not like it's not like you'd be like try to get your breath.
There's
nothing for you to breathe. So yeah. Your lungs, I'm assuming, just don't move. They don't function.
It's just like tossing a fish out of water onto land. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. So the gas cloud, because it came out of the lake so violently, actually rose at nearly 62 miles an hour into the air. But then, because CO2 is heavier than air, descended in a cloud on the nearby villages, displacing all the air and suffocating 1,746 people and 3,500 livestock within 16 miles of the lake.
God.
Yeah.
And this was in a matter of minutes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It overturned, and it's like Stephen King's The Mist.
Yes.
Just creeping out of this lake, and they're like, hey, what's that, Dan?
It actually looked like a mist, too, according to people there.
How fucking terrifying if some guy was like, hey, Bill, did you read that new King novel?
Yeah.
Shoo! And I know they're not in Africa talking like that, yeah. but like,
shoo!
That was a doozy. I tell you, King, man, he's on one. I read Christine. Buddy, I couldn't sleep for weeks. You talk about some sort of Lovecraftian creatures coming out of the mist like that? By God. I don't know what I'd do.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Wait, what's that?
So it is, they actually don't 100% know for sure what caused this limnic eruption, which we can call it a catastrophic outgassing is another term they use for it.
Outgassing?
Yeah, outgassing.
Do they know if anything man action could cause it? Like, is there anything that people could have done to make that go faster almost?
I don't think so.
Dumping in the water and like displacing or doing some sort of construction or...
Well, they say that most of the geologists suspect that it was a landslide that triggered it, but it could have been a small volcanic eruption that occurred on the bed of the lake. So,
yeah, it's true. Like an eruption or an earthquake, something to move it around.
Yeah, to like jiggle it a little bit.
Push all that to the surface.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess people could have something to do with it if they were doing something on a large enough scale. It says a third possibility is that cool rainwater falling on one side of the lake triggered the overturn. Basically, the warmer water rose, cooler water.
Yeah,
and they said that's possible. They said it also could have been a small earthquake, but... Because no witnesses reported an earthquake on the morning of the disaster, they're saying it's probably not.
Well, so many earthquakes happen every day that we just don't feel
them. We don't feel them.
They're so small.
Yeah. So basically, the event resulted in supersaturated deep water rapidly mixing with the upper layers of the lake, where the reduced pressure allowed the stored CO2 to effervesce out of the solution. Now, basically, what this looks like on a small scale is if you've ever shaken up a can of soda and then opened it. That's exactly what happened, but on the scale of a lake.
Ugh, Lord.
So somebody shook up the lake and then popped the top, and yeah, that's exactly what happened. So apparently... The normally blue waters of the lake turned a deep red immediately after the outgassing due to the iron-rich water from the deep rising to the surface and being oxidized by the air.
That's a good band name. Iron from the Deep.
Yeah, that's great, yeah. The level of the lake dropped by about a meter, and trees near the lake were actually knocked down from the force of the outgassing.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
It's like a burst of air. Just poof.
And here's the thing is, it also caused like a tsunami in the lake, basically. It says scientists concluded from evidence that a 330-foot column of water and foam formed at the surface of the lake.
Jesus.
Spawning a wave of at least 82 feet that swept the shore on one side.
Wow.
Yeah. And since carbon dioxide is about 1.5 times the density of air, the cloud of carbon dioxide hugged the ground and moved down the valleys
lower
places where all the various villages were. And the mass of CO2 was about 160 feet thick and traveled downwards at about 12 to 31 miles an hour.
Good Lord. So if they just looked up through the trees on this mountain, they just saw... A low-hanging fog.
Yeah.
Moving. Just rushing down at 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Coming to suck the life out of them.
Yeah, basically what happened is that for roughly about a 14-mile radius around the lake, the gas cloud was concentrated enough to suffocate most people in their sleep in the villages of Neos, Cam, Cha, and Subum.
Do they know what time it happened?
Yeah, I believe so. We'll have to get to that point.
Yeah,
that's okay. I was just curious,
because you said most people were sleeping.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was
early morning. I think it was early morning, if I believe right.
Gotcha.
This kind of shows you a little map of it. We'll kind of get into that here in just a minute. But they said that about 4,000 inhabitants actually fled the area, and many of those actually developed respiratory issues like lesions and paralysis as a result of the gas cloud.
Damn. If it didn't kill them immediately, they got some sort of health problem.
Yeah. And they said it's also possible that there were volcanic gases that were released along with the CO2 because some survivors reported a smell of gunpowder or rotten eggs, which would indicate that sulfur dioxide and hydrogen sulfide were present at concentrations above their odor thresholds. But CO2 was the only gas detected in samples of lake water, so they're not 100% sure on that. So reporters in the area, after this event happened, reporters actually came out to the area to, you know, cover it in news stories, because this was, you know, the mid-80s. We, you know, information traveled around quick enough that reporters could come out.
Yeah.
And the reporters in the area described the scene as looking like the aftermath of an atomic bomb. One survivor, a guy named Joseph, described himself when he awoke after the gases had struck.
I was just reading that.
You were just reading that?
He said, "I could not speak. I became unconscious. I could not open my mouth because I smelled something horrible. I heard my daughter snoring in a terrible way, very abnormal, and crossing my daughter's bed, I collapsed and I fell. I was there until 9 o'clock in the morning of Friday the next day, until a friend of mine came and knocked on my door. I was surprised to see that my trousers were red, had some stains like honey. I saw some starchy mess on my body. My arms had wounds. I didn't know how I got these wounds. I opened the door. I wanted to speak. My breath would not come out. My daughter was already dead. I went into her bed thinking that she was still sleeping. I slept until 4:30 in the afternoon on Friday that day. Then I managed to go to my neighbor's houses. They were all dead." Jesus Christ. I decided to leave because most of my family was in Wum, which I'm assuming is a different town. I got my motorcycle. A friend whose father had died went with me. As I rode through Neos, I didn't see any sign of any living thing. When I got to Wum, I was unable to walk or even talk. My body was completely weak.
Yeah.
How did he survive?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, some people survived, and I don't know how they did it.
Yeah, like, because his daughter was asleep.
Yeah.
And then she died. Yeah. I was thinking, like, maybe if you were asleep, like, you're just not struggling to breathe, and it's just kind of a natural thing. Maybe.
Yeah.
But...
It says that following the eruption, many survivors were treated at the main hospital in the country's capital. I'm not going to try to pronounce that, the name of the country's capital. there's too many vowels, and I'm going to mess it up. Yeah. it was believed that many of the victims had been poisoned by a mixture of the gases that included hydrogen and sulfur. Poisoning by these gases would lead to burning pain in the eyes and nose, coughing, and signs of asphyxiation similar to being strangled. So people basically were strangled to death by unseen hands. there's a metal song for you, Strangled by Unseen Hands.
Oh my God. Ted Bundy's Unseen Hands. Ted Bundy and the Unseen Hands. There we go.
And apparently, interviews with survivors and pathologic studies indicated that victims rapidly lost consciousness and that death was caused by the CO2 asphyxiation. Although at non-lethal levels, CO2 can produce sensory hallucinations. So many people who were exposed to CO2 reported the odor of sulfuric compounds when none were present. And the weird thing is skin lesions were found on survivors representative of pressure sores. And
That's how he got all these wounds on him, right?
Yeah, and in a few cases, exposure to a heat source. But there's no evidence of chemical burns or flash burns from exposure to hot gases. They still don't 100% know what happened with all of this, basically, is what they're saying.
Well, I can't imagine being the doctors when all these like people start showing up and they're like, "Help us."
Yeah.
Like, what happened? They're like, "Everyone's dead." And they're like, "Whoa, slow down."
Yeah. Yeah.
Because no one knew about it at first. It's not like anyone was around to report it, you know?
Yeah. So there's another report from another survivor of the incident. Her name was Ephraim? Ephraim Shea, maybe? Yeah. Was in his mud brick house on a cliff above Neos.
Okay.
So this guy was on
a cliff. So the gas moved down, right?
Yeah, the gas
was heavy.
Heavy down. Goes down. So if he was up on a cliff, he would have survived, and that's why he survived.
Yeah.
I guess. It says, a half moon lit the water in the hills and valleys beyond around 9 p.m. What did we say his last name would be? Like Shay?
Shay, yeah.
A subsistence farmer with four children heard a rumbling that sounded like a rock slide. Then a strange white mist rose from the lake, and he told his children that he looked that it looked as if rain were on the way, and then went to bed feeling ill. Down below, near the lake's shore, Halima Suli, a cowherder, and her four children had retired for the night. She also heard the rumbling. It sounded, she would recall, like the shouting of many voices. A great wind roared through her extended family's small compound of thatched huts, and she promptly passed out like a dead person, she says.
So I'm assuming that these two, because they were above it, got the gas of the initial explosion.
Yeah.
Which wasn't enough to kill them, I'm assuming. Yeah,
make them pass out. But
yeah, it was like enough of the initial, like sucked it out of them. They passed out, and then that all dropped down, and the actual gas started flowing that was poisonous.
Yeah. So at first light, Shay headed downhill. He went to bed for the night, and he headed downhill. And when he saw the lake, Neos, which he normally describes as crystal blue, had turned a dull red. When he reached the lake's sole outlet, which is a waterfall, he found the falls to be dry. Like, the water wasn't falling anymore because the lake's level had fallen by 3 feet and wasn't flowing out of the waterfall anymore.
Yeah.
At that moment, he noticed the silence. Even the usual morning chorus of birds and insects was absent.
That's terrifying.
They all suffocated.
Yeah, like, there's pictures like dead cattle and...
Yeah.
Anything in the path of that, well, most things in the path of that were killed.
Yeah, so he ran into this other woman that we talked about, what was Halima Suli? As he was walking along the lake, he runs into her, and she was in a frenzy, and she had actually torn off all of her clothing. Because remember we said earlier that it causes hallucinations lower levels of exposure. And she was saying, come here. Why are these people lying here? Why won't they move again?
Oh, shit.
There's just bodies littered everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like an apocalypse movie.
Yeah.
You just wake up and everybody's dead.
Yeah. He tried to look away, and scattered about her were the bodies of all of her children, 31 other members of her family, and their 400 cattle.
Oh, they all died.
All of them, but this one.
Oh, so I guess that gas was enough to kill them.
Yeah. And then she said, on that day, there were no flies on the dead because the flies had died too.
Fucking what?
Yeah.
Bruh.
Yeah. So Shay ran on downhill to the village of Lower Neos. There's a lower part of the village.
New Neos.
Yeah. There, nearly every one of the village's 1,000 residents were dead, including his parents, siblings, uncles, aunts. He said that he believed it was the end of the world.
I wouldn't blame him. I would think the same thing.
Yeah, you just wake up.
I fucking imagine that. He wakes up, and he's like, oh my God, everyone's dead. And then all of a sudden, they're like, and they all start getting back up.
And here's the thing, is it says all told about 1,800 people perished at Lake Neos. Many of the victims were found right where they'd normally be around 9 o'clock that night, because the lake, it happened around 9 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, okay.
So it says suggesting that they died on the spot.
Yeah.
Like, and it says bodies were laid near cooking fires, clustered in doorways and in bed.
I'm assuming that it snuffed out flames, right?
I think so, yeah, because all the oxygen.
Because fire needs oxygen,
yeah.
Right?
Like, it says, some people who had lain unconscious for more than a day finally woke up, saw everybody dead around them, and then killed themselves.
Fucking what?
Yeah.
They were like, oh no, the rapture happened, and I didn't get taken. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, I'm looking at this map here to try to kind of make some sense of it here. I'm guessing, okay, there's Lake Neos right there. It's closer to it's close to the ocean. Okay, so this is, gotcha, like the ocean. There's Lake Neos. Okay, so yeah. Yeah, there's a picture of panoramic view of Lake Neos after the disaster. It did. It wiped out, like, big chunks of the shoreline, that, like, tsunami that we were talking about.
Dang.
Of course, people talked about secret government experiments and invisible super weapons.
Mm. Yeah, understandable.
Yeah.
My first thought was, like, everyone there would think it was some sort of religious act.
Probably. I mean, there probably was a large group of people that thought that that's kind of what it was, I guess. I guess to kind of go circle back on this, a lot of right after this event happened, tons of scientists came out, because they figured that it was the dormant volcano underneath the crater had erupted, spewing out some kind of like deadly fumes,
right?
But they, over the months and years studying what exactly happened there, they found out that it was what we talked about today. that limnic eruption. And until this point, we thought they were a myth. We didn't think these types of eruptions and lakes were real.
Huh.
Because they're so rare.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was just reading. Let me see if I can pull it up. So it says that, you know, several researchers propose installation of degassing columns from rafts in the middle of the lake. The principle is to slowly vent the CO2 by lifting heavily saturated water from the bottom of the lake through a pipe, initially by using a pump, only until the release of the gas inside the pipe naturally lifts the column, making a process kind of self-sustaining. So it's like whenever it builds up CO2, it lifts this pipe up and it releases it, and then it kind of... So it's not all just like a build up and explode
all at once.
Yeah, it's kind of like as it happens, it fills this pipe up, and then the pipe floats to the top, releases it, and then goes back down. So starting from 1995, feasibility studies were successfully conducted, and the first permanent degassing tube was installed at Lake Neos in 2001. Two additional pipes were installed in 2011, and in 2019, it was determined that the degassing had reached an essentially steady state, that a single one of the installed pipes would be able to self-sustain it in the future, indefinitely maintaining the CO2 at a safe level without any need of external power. Following that disaster, scientists investigated other African lakes to see if similar phenomenon could happen elsewhere. Lake Kivu in the Democratic Republic of Congo, 2,000 times larger than Lake Neos, was found to be supersaturated, and geologists found evidence that outgassing events around this lake happened about every 1,000 years.
Holy shit. So, okay.
It so, can happen again.
Yeah. You know, I was doing some further reading into this, and they were talking to this guy, Shay, like some of the reporters and scientists that had come out. They were talking to this dude. And they basically were kind of looking into it a little bit, like the name of the lake and, you know, if there is a history of anything weird happening here. And all of that kind of stuff. So the reporters here, this comes from Smithsonian Magazine. So they kind of detail heading out to the lake, you know, and they said that, you know, as one approaches Lake Neos, grass grows on the road, indicating that few travelers come this way. After a final mile long climb through thinning bush, one emerges into an airy amphitheater of high cliffs carved into shapes surrounding the lake. The lake is a small, roughly half a square mile in area. It's not a big lake.
Yeah.
So it's now once again blue and tranquil. Neos in the regional language means good, but in Intangicom, which is a related language, it means to crush. That's the name of the lake. It means to crush. And it says local mythology around the lake suggests that people around this lake have long been aware that the lake harbored destruction.
Of some sort.
Yes. It says Cameroonian myths reserve a special category for lakes, which are said to be the homes of ancestors and spirits and the source of death.
Jesus.
So people who've lived here for hundreds of or thousands of years, they regard these lakes as a source of death, basically.
Wow. They're like, let's still live near them.
Yeah, it says, according to legends documented by anthropologists, a lake may rise, sink, explode, or even change locations, according to local legends.
Yeah.
And it says that certain ethnic groups actually make it to where if you live near these lakes, your house has to be built on high ground. And they said perhaps this is on a collective memory passed down for centuries to say, like,
for fear of a flood or gas.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Shay's people, which were part of the Bathmen tribe, had lived there for hundreds of years and followed that tradition. They built up on the hill, which is why he managed to kind of survive, even though some of his family didn't. But about 60 years ago, other groups began moving into the area, and they did not follow the longstanding custom to build up on the high ground around the lakes. They built low in the valley.
Yeah.
And,
he was smart.
Yes. Yes, exactly. basically, that's kind of what kind of led to this.
Yeah.
They're talking about Shay, who told a story that he learned from his grandfather about the lake that he lived around. And he says, the story goes, long ago, a group of villagers decided to cross Lake Neos. One man parted the waters. It's like, kind of like the whole Red Sea thing.
Yeah.
But a mosquito bit the man on a testicle. This is the actual story now.
Okay.
When he swatted the insect,
slapping his own balls.
Yes. He lost his grip on the waters, and every villager was instantly drowned. Shay pointed toward the lake with the homemade spear he often carries. They're between those two rocks, he said, referring matter-of-factly to the ghosts of that catastrophe. You hear them talking sometimes, but you do not see them.
Probably bubbling from the lake.
Yeah. The author of this article says the story falls under the rubric of what anthropologists call geomythology. In this case, an account of an actual disaster that they couldn't explain hundreds or thousands of years ago, and therefore became passed down as, all the villagers drowned in the lake, rather than a giant lake bubble came up and killed us all.
Yeah.
That's basically...
It's like Pangea and Moses.
Noah,
you know.
Yeah, all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, it says, details shift over time, but these stories probably tell us about real events that happened. Now, an interesting thing to note here, though, as we kind of wrap all this up, is 2 years before this catastrophe, a similar incident, although on a smaller scale, took place at Manaun, which was a bone-shaped crater lake about 60 miles south of Neos. Manaun is located in a populous area surrounded by farms and bordered in part by a road. And just before dawn, a guy was biking towards the village of Jindown when he descended into a dip in the road, low spot. Yeah. And parked along the road was a pickup truck belonging to a local Catholic priest. And this guy found the priest's dead body next to the truck. Moving on, he found another corpse, a man's body still astride a stalled motorcycle. Huh. So the motorcycle stalled out because its engine would run because of lack of oxygen.
And he was just sitting on top of it?
Dead.
What?
Yes. Yeah. And then... sinking into a kind of trance, he became too weak to bike and continued on foot. And then he passed a herd of dead sheep and other stalled vehicles whose occupants were dead. And beginning to climb uphill now, he found a friend walking towards him, and he said he wanted to warn his friend to turn back, but he lost the capacity to speak. So basically, he made it into the village alive. But 36 others that were traveling along the low stretch of road at the time did not survive. So a very, very similar incident happened. Huh.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, it's like, what was that movie, The Happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
The trees are releasing that toxin that just murdered everybody.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we live near a giant lake.
Yeah, Lake Mead's just going to disappear before it does anything awful, though.
That's true.
It's just full of beer cans and broken dreams at this point.
And probably quite a few bodies. Since yeah, there's used to be definitely, a mob town.
Absolutely a few bodies in Lake Mead. If not in the lake, around the lake, buried in some sort of
they
rock.
They keep finding bodies out there.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many canyons out there.
Yeah, it's just kind of wasteland out there, basically. Yeah. So, you know, that pretty much wraps up this episode. I hope you enjoyed hearing about Lake Neos.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't scare you at all. Spooky.
Spooky. So we'll see you guys later on in the week for another normal episode for us. So I'm going to get out of here. Bye.
Don't get too spooked.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.